Good evening, members. Welcome to the Overview and Scrutiny Committee. Chairman's notices. Right. Sound recording of the meeting. Please note the Council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the Council's website. The start of the meeting announcement will be made about the sound recording. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be given permission to include it in the recording. Fire. In the event of fire, a siren will sound. Please use the fire exit marked with the green running man. The fire assembly point is outside the main entrance to the council offices. Please gather there and wait for further instructions. Health and safety. Please be advised of different levels of flooring within the council chamber. There are steps behind the main horseshoe as well as to the side of the room. Closed circuit television. Meetings held in the council chamber are monitored and recorded by CCTV for security purposes only. Right, have we got any apologies for absence? Everyone's here, aren't they? Minutes of the last meeting on pages 5 to 10. Page 5.
Mr. Chairman. Page 5 on minute 147, on 276, then it speaks about minute 147. This talks about my declaration of interest as I worked at the police station, but I occasionally work there. It is occasionally, and I'm based at Chelmsford, okay. But occasionally I'll work there.
Involved with that, can
I? Yes. I think that also is true on 278 as well, on the next page 6.
Okay. Yep. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8.
Page 8, Chairman.
Right, yes, sir.
For accuracy, when I find it. Or is it on? Oh yes, it's top of page 8. Planning and tree works. For accuracy, it says here the director resources to look at the trees on and around Downs Road and feed back to Councillor Savage. I believe that's not been done.
I believe that the Director of Customers and Communities, having spoken to Matt Wilson, was going to do that. So if he hasn't, I'll do that later today. I've got an email.
Yeah. Okay. And just for information, I believe on this point, the Town Council was also written in as they feel victimised by it.
I haven't seen it.
So, but that's another issue, just for information.
Page 9.
And while I'm here, I'll catch up with page 7.
We're going back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've written this in reverse order. Sorry. It's provision of car parking.
Yes.
For accuracy, please. Is there an update on the Asset Management Working Group discuss car parking, if it has even met to discuss it yet?
Yes, the Asset Management Working Group did discuss car parking in the town centre, and I believe, but I'll confirm, not having the Asset Management Working Group notes in front of me, but there is a review of a business case to extend car parking within the town centre, which will be brought forward as a result of the Asset Management Working Group.
Yes, but I also mentioned the adverse car parking connected events on the prom.
Yes, that's not the same item as the first one, which related, I believe, to Councillor Heard talking about a lack of car parking in the town centre. Let's have a look to see whether we've got the prom issue in here or not. We did discuss that because you had a concern over whether events should continue within Promenade Park due to the
parking
difficulties at the recent car
show. That's right. I have raised this with the leader, but I've had no actual feedback. That's why I raised it.
Have a look at that.
It happens to be.
Ms. Ford, we'll have a look at that. If that's happy with you, all right.
And
with
it
that.
Appears to be
Councillor
put
Hurd.
On the local newspapers as well.
Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. Just while we're on page 7, it speaks about an update at a future meeting of the council regarding the crematorium, but I don't think we've had that, and it's not coming to this meeting.
It was on the agenda for the full council meeting, but it's actually going to go to finance in September.
Okay, so page 7. Page 8, I think we've dealt with.
Yeah.
Page 9.
Sorry, page 9 again. It's only where I mentioned again, 283, again, where interest as he occasionally worked at the police station. And when it says and did not return, that doesn't mean from the police station, didn't return to the meeting.
Oh.
Thank you.
Are you happy with the minutes, members?
Yeah.
Can I propose from a seconder, please? All in favour? Everyone's
yeah.
Okay, thank you. There is no public participation, so we move on to disclosure of interests. Any interest anyone wants to disclose? Yes, sir.
I'll declare an interest as I'd like to speak about items in Appendix 1 in relation to the level of reported crime, non-pecuniary, in that I'm employed by Essex Police.
Okay. No more interests. Okay. Review of performance on quarter 1, 2018-19, pages 11 to 40.
Thank you. So we've got the covering report on page 11 and then the actual quarterly performance report starts on page 15. I'll take the report on the whole as read, just highlighting a few key areas. The report's separated out by corporate goals. The first corporate goal being strengthening communities to be safe, active and healthy. There's only one KCA attached to this and it's on track. There's also a suite of tracking measures which are provided on page 17. I think two points which Councillor Hurd may wish to talk on, but the overall reported levels of crime on an absolute level are higher, as are the reported antisocial behaviour incidents, and the absolute level of detection, or the level of detection, has fallen as well. On this corporate goal as well, there are some housing and homelessness tracking measures which we would normally report at quarter one, but due to the new Homelessness Reduction Act, these will come forward in quarter two. The next section is the corporate goal of protecting and shaping the district. We've got four KCAs in this section, two of which are behind schedule, one is on track, and there's one which has got greens and reds because it's been separated out onto the individual flood alleviation and flood relief projects schemes. Following on from that, we've got our recycling indicators which are currently at risk. If you look at the percentage so far for quarter one, it's 62.1. It's lower than it was in the first quarter of last year. Then moving forwards, we've also got some justified misbins, which are higher than they were as well, and that's on page 26. Then moving forward on to the next corporate goal, because we've got a lot of reports there that Shireni recorded on an annual basis, so we skip a few pages. So page 16, I think, or page 17, creating opportunities for economic growth and prosperity. The first one relates to the Central Area Master Plan. Then we've got a KCA around the coordination of the delivery of an enterprise centre. Members will note that since this was reported at the end of June, Council have now had a report and there's been a recommendation relating to that. In addition, the skills strategy has moved forward as well. So whilst those two are behind schedule on page 32, we're now moving to put those back on track. Then moving on to corporate goal, delivering good quality, cost-effective and valued services. In terms of the ICT projects, the telephony system is on track. We're going to procurement on that at the moment. The email system has been completed, and on here it shows the ICT strategy has not been started. That's actually been completed now, so that's been started and completed, working alongside Ignite on that. In terms of the transformation programme, we probably need to amend this KCA moving forwards to make it more pertinent to the implementation of the future model. Then on page 35 and page 36, you'll see that our housing benefit and council tax benefit claims, currently the process to time to process both the change of circumstances and the new claims are much higher than they have been in previous years and also are outside target. We did start the year with a backlog. There was also a staff restructure in that area, and at that point in time, we hadn't yet recruited to all of the posts we needed to, so they've been carrying a lot of vacant posts in that area. We have been using an outside company to support this processing, and now we're getting back on track since then. So, happy to take any questions.
If I might come in, Mr. Chairman. My query really is around, on page 10, it's the flood alleviation schemes and where we are with those, because I know it's already been raised, but the planning permissions were granted because of it, and yet we seem to be... it's not getting sorted out either way, and I wonder if we'd had any updates. So I think I missed one of the meetings, and I wonder what the latest updates were on the two.
Chairman, sorry. Just one thing. We keep... ducking from different page numbers.
Yes.
Page 10 is also page 24. The director's already confused me twice on that.
Yeah.
And now Councillor White's confused me, and it's trying to find the different page numbers. It's not.
Oh, yeah, I've got page 24 on the side and page 10 at the bottom.
It would be helpful if they wore one number.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I have two numbers. Well, 24, 10, then we'll go.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is we need to take out those little numbers on the right which pertain to the report when we put them into the pack.
Yeah, page 24,
then. so there, I believe that there has now been a planning application made for the North Haybridge Garden suburb within the last, I think, week or so. So in terms of the planners, we'll now work through that, carrying out their work to provide potential recommendation on that going forwards. The Brickhouse Farm scheme, we've got to catch up with county around that coming up.
Sorry to interrupt, but part of the Brickhouse scheme is confidential, because the allotment holders who this is concerned with have not been told and they've been kept in the dark. So part of this should be confidential. It causes a lot of problems when the actual tenant, which is Maldon Town Council, doesn't even know what's going on.
I think the Brickhouse Farm scheme itself, I think that is in the public domain. I think the detail behind it is not...
Well, the original one was leaked in the public domain and caught the town council out, because it came from an allotment holder who had to know first. The second scheme and the other areas that the county council have been doing are not in the public domain.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. We won't discuss that one any further.
You
won't get an answer to that, sorry. Thank you, Councillor Savage. Yes.
Chairman, I've got seven issues here.
Okay.
If we go to page 17, the first one, that's the proper page 17. It's the sanction detection rates, 5.9%. I believe that is the lowest detection rate I have ever seen in Maldon, and it is frankly appalling. It is unacceptable. Now, I don't know whether it is linked, but Maldon appears to be a place where you can have crime, because it's shot up. It's not going down as it should be, and it isn't being helped with the police station making it look like a building that one would see in France near the ports, and I think it's disgrace. I wonder, Chairman, as we perhaps bring this to the crime of disorder, that all that screening can be taken down and make it look, even if it is just a sleeping policeman, because you come into Maldon, you see that and you think, oh, no police. There isn't even a notice that says police station, Troy, Prince's Road, Maldon District Council offices. It is awful, and this detection rate is bad. That's all I want to say on page 17. Right. If we can go to page 25, and I'll get there. Right.
That's 25 at the side.
That is the 25 at the side.
11 at the bottom.
Yeah.
The next page.
Yes, 11 at the bottom, if you like. Yeah, okay. Now, it's this household waste. Okay, it's at risk. But it's the comment that has attracted me. It says, we have undertaken a recent recycling campaign, Metal Matters, to increase metal recycling, leaflets and vehicle graphics. Well, I don't know if anybody's seen any of that, because I haven't.
Have we seen anything?
I don't know what that is about.
Has Dobson seen it?
Yes, it is in the
foyer. On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
All of those are dodgy sites, and I stay off them. You've only got to look at the hacking problems that are cropping up.
Well, let's get back to the meeting.
So, it says here that you've undertaken a recent campaign. Well, if the campaign only means it's in where people don't go, or the foyer, I just raised that. It doesn't seem to have achieved what it perhaps set out to do.
Can we question that?
I can seek some feedback on levels of metal recycling since we've done the campaign. That would probably be the best way to do
that. Okay, Councillor Savage.
Yeah, okay, right. Thank you.
Next one.
Page 32. Page 32, which is page 18. Okay. Now, my only comment here is it's the coordination delivery of an enterprise centre for the district. Well, whilst I don't disagree with what it says there, it says a member seminar was arranged for the 24th of July. The actual feasibility was agreed to go ahead, even though we don't know where the site is. I don't know whether this should have been in this, or is this going to come in the next one. But I think, as this is a public document, that there should have been some footnote. It's going ahead, their feasibility study, wherever.
Yeah, I think it's just not been updated for what happened properly in recent weeks.
Right, OK. Page 35, and to some extent page 36, which would be page 21 and 22. I know you've mentioned about the time taken to process housing benefit support for new claims has shot up, but when I look at the comments, it's almost like there's a backlash and we don't want to take part in a transformation. And that also appears on the following page 36. It just doesn't seem believable to me, but I'll just raise that.
Did you want to?
So all teams in the organisation are taking part in the transformation fully. It's a whole council transformation. Unfortunately, for the revenues and benefits staff, they had already very recently gone through their own restructure. So they're going through two restructures very, very close to each other. And at the last restructure, which happened over the winter, they had got quite a few vacant posts, and we've also had a staff recruitment freeze as well, which hasn't necessarily helped their position. However, now we have a lot more clarity over the future model, and we are now backfilling those posts where we can. And following the issue being is that what we don't want to do is we don't want to recruit a lot of new people in, put them at risk straight away as part of the transformation programme, provide them, then make people redundant, which actually that might be suitable alternative employment for them. So I think we'll have some more clarity around that over the next couple of months. The other issue for revenues and benefits and time taken to process housing benefit and council tax, both changes circumstances and new claims, is that we are due implementation of universal credit in November.
Everyone help you then?
And when we look at our other sort of peer local authorities across Essex, they have all found that during that implementation period and in the first few months, as everything, you know, moves over and changes, that the performance level does drop.
I'll look forward to it dropping at the next scrutiny meeting.
Okay, Councillor Savage, you got any more questions?
Yes, I have two more. Page 44. Oh, sorry, that might be the next item. Yeah, sorry, I've finished, Chairman.
Oh, good. Would anyone else like to ask some questions? Councillor Jewett and Councillor Dobson.
Thank you, Chairman. Just touching back onto recycling, it's not exactly, it probably is relevant to this, but not completely. We are obviously recycling to a level, or we are sending stuff to recycling to a good level. But bearing in mind news items in the press recently, are we confident that a lot of our recycling is not landfilled in Poland or spread across a beach in the Far East? How can we ensure that that's the case?
I think there is probably something that we can do around exercising our rights to an open book on that contract to find out where the recycler has been traded with as best as we can. So there probably is something else that we can do with that other than just taking assurances from the provider that that is not happening. I think there probably is a further stage that we could look at.
And it is something that I believe that we should do, yeah, because there's very little point in encouraging everybody to recycle just for a newspaper item to say that all this Malden District Council rubbish was discovered in Hawaii or somewhere. So moving on to page 39, I've come across something that concerns me far more. And actually, I found it purely by chance. At the bottom of page 39, the average number of days lost per full-time equivalent due to sickness. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was 10.86 days. This year, the target is 8 days. Well, strangely enough, a similar time that this came out, I received an email from ACAS, which says, all Office of National Statistics data shows that employees took an average of 4.1 days sickness absence in 2017. It allows you to compare your organisation with other organisations, etc. If you then go on to the Office for National Statistics item, it says sickness absence falls to the lowest rate on record. The latest figures for 2017 show that the average number of sickness absence days that UK numbers take has almost halved since 1993, when records began on that. And in 1993, the average number of days lost through sickness was about 7.3, a bit of a job to tell on this graph. And apart from a faint blip in 1997, when it went back to that level, it's continued to drop basically every year since, right down to 4.1 now, which is half of what we're aiming to do on the target. And to my mind, it doesn't seem much of a target to aim for.
Is that short term or long term or combined? That's the only thing that I would ask on that one. Because our short term actual was 5.23 last year and the long term actual was 5.63. 4 days does sound, as an average, as a UK average across long term and short term, sounds very low. That it might be 4 days, but I just wouldn't mind just checking the short term, long term element of that. But we'll come back with a response on that, especially I'll find the document.
You can have the document, yeah. I mean, by all means.
Let's do that.
It doesn't actually seem to specify here whether it's short-term, long-term, or a mixture of two.
Okay.
It just states that it is, the figures show that employees took an average of 4.1 sickness absence days in 2017 compared with 7.2 days in 1993, but sickness absence started to fall overall from 1999. A day is defined as 7.5 hours.
I'll have a look at that, thank you, Councillor Jewett.
But can't tell you much more than that.
Okay.
Councillor Dobson.
Hey, Tim, just back to the council tax benefit rate on page 3521 in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you for the response to it, and I think you've told us most information. The only question I've got is, obviously it's gone off a cliff. Those not in a good way. Is there anything that could have been done to predict it? Because it seems to have gone nuclear very quickly. Is there anything that could have been done to predict the staff loss or the issues you were going to face?
So I think just a few things on that. I think quarter one is always difficult because you end up with a bit of a backlog from the year before plus the new claims and various bits of uprating that happen in terms of everybody's council tax changing and various other bits and pieces that you have to do. So quarter one is always does create a backlog. However, what we've got here is incredibly high against what we had last year, which was 15.9 days, recognising that probably the backlog was at a similar level. I think we know how much work we're going to have, and I think probably we could have been smarter, but I'll get some feedback on this in terms of potentially bringing in additional staff to be able to support that, but recognising that that has an additional cost as well.
Okay. Anyone else want to ask a question before I go back to Councillor Savage? Very quickly then, please, because
well,
you've had a lot of time.
There's a comment that Councillor Dewick's brought up about waste and where it goes. Hopefully it doesn't go internationally. But if that is the case with some of our waste, then we should treat that waste as a commodity. In which case, I'm reminded of the armaments industry. And they require an end-user licence to say where the stuff ultimately turns up and wherever it goes, so that in their case it doesn't turn up in the hands of terrorists. But I'm not saying that our waste is. But I think that's the only way you can apply that is with an end-user licence.
So, I mean, historically, a lot of our recycler has gone to China, like a lot of recycler across the country, because they had the demand for it. So we do know that our waste has gone into internationally, but I will seek some further guidance and information as to where exactly it's gone.
Councillor Hurd, then Councillor Dewick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll do it backwards so that it might save a bit of time. Page 26, please, on the left-hand side. Which is about waste again. This speaks about the average number of justified missed collections per collection day. Can I just ask, first of all, does that include green waste? Because I have somebody who is unable, who has paid their money to have the green waste, but the vehicle doesn't collect because they live in King Street.
Yeah, I'll check that.
Yeah, but it's regularly missed there, mm. and the reason given is that the vehicle can't get round because they've got the vehicles are too large, and I understand that there is some road traffic regulation in place to try and stop the parking there, but he's had to have had his money refunded because we're simply not collecting there, and that's not really. That doesn't bode very well for the authority. So that's the question. Do these wastes include green waste? And then if I could just take you back to the beginning again, page 17. I'm sorry to take you all the way back again. And these, again, this is talking about not only the sanction detection rate, which is going down and down and down, as Councillor Savage has quite rightly said, but here we have, again, level of reported crime has gone up by 10% in 1 year. And I really do hope that this committee will be speaking to the Police and Crime Commissioner about these figures, because Councillor Savage is quite right. They are unacceptable.
Mm.
The reason that I feel I can speak on this is because I've got nothing to do with the Police and Crime Commissioner. But the fact is, he is elected in order to fund the police. Yes. And if we are getting more reported crimes, then there should be more staff to administer that. But the point is that it's a double-edged sword, because it's not only the rising crime, but it is also that detection rate. And what that's saying is less detections, more crime, and that's not good for this area.
Not good at all.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor
Dewitt. Yeah, Chairman, it's probably not entirely relevant, except that it backs up something, well, it doesn't, it rather can contradict something that Councillor Savage has just said about recording where waste goes. I know, because I've seen the tickets, a waste carrier who operates in this district, on my kind of work, not necessarily council kind of work, but they put on their tickets that all waste carried by these vehicles is returned to, and it quotes the address that they are based at, and I know for a fact that a vast percentage of it does not. It goes straight to landfill. It does not go back. The reason I suspect they do it is because if it goes back to their base, then it's can be processed for recycling to produce recycled aggregates, and they will gain extra money from apparently taking everything back to that when it doesn't. And I mean, it's huge tonnages of material that we're talking about, and a lot of this paperwork, it is so easy to fiddle it, and nobody ever knows unless there is the Environment Agency or similar do a real proper trace of it all by following vehicles. There is no other way it can be proven, but I know what this company's up to, and it's costing a taxpayer a huge amount of money, and it's a kind of abuse that is right through the waste system. Thank you, Chairman.
What do we do about that now?
I'm not sure.
That's sort of a point.
I'm not wanting
an answer. No, I don't think
I can. There's nothing you can say, is there?
No. It's terrible.
Just flabbergasted.
Well, I mean, could we seek assurance from our providers that is a...
Well, we're going to do that anyway. Yeah. Anybody else? Councillor Savage, don't you want another question?
Yes, Chairman. I have two, but we've already established it's
okay.
Next agenda item.
Okay. Right, agenda item 7.
Programme of works.
So let's take each one of these one by one. So the first item being the provision of healthcare and the recruitment of GPs. I think Councillor Pudney will give a brief update from the meeting that he had at Mid-Essex Hospitals Trust. And then in addition to that, so we're on page 43 on the big numbers on the side, and then in addition to that, I think we were going to invite the CCG back to attend a meeting of this committee to talk about GP recruitment further.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. The meeting I went to, it was chaired by Nick Alston, who is the chairman up at Broomfield Hospital. Unfortunately, the notes I made are with the town clerk at Burnham Town Council, and because of all the trouble they've had down there, and I haven't been there every day, I still haven't got them back. I can remember some of the notes I made. There is a new chairman, a new managing director, Jane Farrell. She'd been in the position of about a month when we went for the it's going ahead with the merger of the three hospitals, Broomfield, Southend and Basildon. Basildon has, of course, got an excellent cardiac department. They are still keeping, obviously, the cardiac in the other hospitals, obviously. And they are not going to be vamping down A&E in the other hospitals. It was spread that they were going to vamp them down and it would all be going to Basildon, but no, it's staying as it is. The one good thing with the merger is that if somebody has to be transferred from one hospital to another, it will save on a lot of the paperwork. They'll just go with their notes and that's it, and the reason, you know, obviously the reason why they're going. Basildon has been said it's got one of the most brilliant cardiac, and it's been reported that Broomfield has the burns and plastics unit there is one of the best in the world. That was what was reported. They're hoping the merger will start to take place early part of next year. Broomfield, it's a trust, but it's not a foundation trust, because the membership is smaller than Basel and Southend, so they are encouraging people, because when they merge, they're hoping to become a foundation trust, which will mean more money for them. There are some concerns, and I did bring the concern up at the meeting that if one hospital has got a little bit short of staff, they might transfer some from one hospital to another, which could make that hospital short. But Mr. Alston did ensure me that that will not happen. He said if people want to leave one hospital and go and work at another one, he said that is their choice. He said, but we won't be, he said, unless there was a real emergency somewhere, a major emergency, then it would it would happen anyway. And basically that was it. I will be reporting back, I'll report back at the next one. When I get these notes back, there are some more things. I was supposed to be meeting Dan Doherty on Monday. I have meetings with him roughly every couple of months, but unfortunately he's been called to the A&E board meeting, so he can't make it. So they've put the date off until the following week, and when I hear back from him, I can report on that. I have got a HOSC meeting next week. The one that was supposed to have been in the beginning of August was cancelled because many of the members were either on holiday or there are in other meetings, so they cancel it, and it's next week. And I'll be reporting back on that as well. One nice bit. I did relay Miss Foy's regards to James Day.
Oh, thank you very much.
And yourself, thank you very much. She said, please return them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Move on.
Okay, so the next one on our list is the Section 106, which is due an update report to the October meeting.
Should we have someone take this over, because it's Councillor Thompson?
It was Councillor Mrs Thompson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll
take that.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Dobson. The next one is internal and external communication. Now, the latest bit, I don't know whether Councillor Savage, if you want to bring up anything about this, because I arranged for Ms Kelly to meet with you to discuss some concerns that you had, and we document that in here. Is there anything further that you feel we need to look into?
Yes, there is. Thank you. Mr Kelly did ring me up, and we did have a long chat. The first part was a clarification, because I understand Director of Resources didn't fully understand what I was talking about. That was resolved, and I'm pleased to say that Mr Kelly actually agreed with me, which took me by surprise a bit, I must admit. However, my original concern, which is what Mr Kelly agreed with, still hasn't been addressed. What do you do when emails fail to get the response that you want? It's not been done. And the second thing, which is why I've actually got on page 44, you've got three items, asterisks, that they are to be taken up as they ignite, and you recommend that we remove this from the work programme. Oh no, we're here to scrutinise even ignite. And to just say that telecommunications via the council's contract centre will be dealt with by Ignite, I'm afraid, no, we want to see the result of Ignite so we can scrutinise it. And the same with the website, and the same with the council's digital strategy. So members, I'm going to propose and ask that this item not be removed from the work programme until Ignite have completed, and the original system about what do you do if an email fails to get a response you expect it to get.
Sorry, Councillor Savage, if I send an email and I fail to get a response that I expect to get from somebody, there isn't anything I can do from that, because that person has chosen not to respond to me.
Well, if I may come back, there's no evidence there that the person you've emailed actually saw it. I mean, there are emails that are answered by machine. And this is, the planning department's a good one, sorry, out of the office. Now that, I don't use it because I'm not going to tell people that I'm not able to do it. But if you want a response out of an email and don't get it, I go use the telephone. Is there a problem? That's my point. Now in this organisation, people tend to send emails out, assume they've actually been seen by the very person, not by someone looking at a machine, and walk away. And that's the bit. They cannot absolve the responsibility if they want a response.
Councillor Dobson, you wanted to say something.
I think it's, to Councillor Savage's point, I think it's a cultural problem, not a technology or email. Some people don't respond to emails. If emails isn't a guaranteed delivery mechanism, you can't make people, but they can't make people pick up the phone. So I'm not sure how you can fix this without making it a disciplinary matter if you don't respond to an email, which obviously that's not a road you want to go down. So hopefully, I think with Ignite, it's all about culture. Hopefully the culture of the office is going to change and you will get those responses, but I don't see how this committee can influence that to a great degree.
I have a supplementary on that, Chairman.
Well, we've got two other people who want to speak here, and you've spoken all evening.
Well, I keep bringing this up. It keeps coming back. It's not this up. What I think the problem is, you can't say to a staff member you haven't done something because there ain't a policy that they've broken. I think it should be in a policy that if there's a problem with an email, don't walk away from it. Try the phone. See what happens. And I have to say, when some officers have rung me up and queried something and I've gone to look for it, it ain't there, but it was dealt with by the phone. So I can't say our staff or councillors are doing something wrong because they're not breaking a policy. I think something needs to be put in. That's my point.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Jewett and Councillor White.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd agree with Councillor Savage on the lack of response from people on emails, but we do have a system for dealing with it. I'm sure Director of Resources will agree with me that I believe all emails are expected to be responded to within 5 working days. But they're not. I mean, they do from you, but they don't from an awful lot of people. You can send an email and it disappears, never to be seen again. It's not unusual, far from it, sadly. But sometimes when I can be bothered to do something about it, I will remind them and you get, I was just dealing with that. Of course, they would have been.
Thank you. Councillor, I'll come back.
Unfortunately, mine is on the same issue, and it is the planning department. They just, right up to the director, they just don't bother responding. You don't get any response, then you sort of send the email, you think it's dealt with, you go to the parish council meeting, and you think, oh God, I haven't had a response to that again. So I don't know what we can do about it, but it is a big issue.
Councillor
Elliot.
Thank Sorry. You, could we just, at this stage, politely write to all the staff
and remind them of the
council policy that emails must be acknowledged and dealt with within 5 days.
Yes. And we'll put it in the staff briefing, the staff meeting agendas as well. So we'll do all of that.
Thank you, Chairman. I would agree with Councillor Savage not to take this off, but for perhaps a different reason. I don't think you can get over the email system no more than you can get over receiving a letter and then not knowing whether anybody's received it. So I don't really see that that's the problem. But I do think if something is going to be changed, and if it is going to be changed with Ignite, we should be sure that what is being put in place does work. So for that reason, I would ask for it to be kept there.
Yeah.
And
it can go alongside the other piece of work as well.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Bass wanted to ask a question.
Kind of you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not a member of your committee, but I was just very interested in this discussion. And I understood there was a system whereby within the email system that you can ask the recipient to respond that he or she has read it. But could that, with this new system, could that not be... I mean, I don't suppose anybody uses it, but WhatsApp, you can actually tell if the person has read it. First of all, you can tell by 2 ticks that it's gone, and when it turns blue, you know they've read it. And I mean that, and that doesn't mean you don't get an answer, but at least you know it's been delivered and the person's read it. So whether the new technology could do that, I know not. It's just a suggestion.
The problem is I'm not sure that the new technology can do that, but what we can do is we can reinforce the requirement to make sure that if staff receive an email from residents, they're not going to deal with it there and then, that they mark it up with a red flag so at least they can see it. But this all relies on individuals complying. So we need to remind them as much as possible. We need to explain that it's a, you know, really it's, I need to seek advice from HR around whether it's a conduct if you don't reply and all of those things.
Councillor Elliott and then Councillor Hurd.
Just a quick update on what I said. If they put a red flag on it and they can't deal with it, then say so.
And escalate it.
Yeah. Put people in the loop.
Sorry, I don't understand it.
I will deal with it in 10 days.
Councillor Hurd.
Just a very quick clarification, Chairman, and to do with the email system. I know that you can request a receipt when you send an email, and it will ask when it's read. Of course, you can't, if you have a robot, read all of them. It will still send the receipt back, but it will show that it has been seen. And I think that's pretty standard on most email systems, where you can request a receipt if it's read.
Okay. But Chairman, most of those actually say, do you wish to respond that you have read it, yes or no? So if you don't want to, you just press no. Simple.
Or press
delete.
Anyone else?
Yeah. I just come back on that, this request. It does not work, and it is not compatible across the entire system. For example, if you answer an email on the phone, you won't get it because the phone doesn't have that bit to it. And as for these other applications or whatever it is, I don't use them. You know, it's, what's the point?
Okay, point taken. Right, can we move on now?
Can I just make one more point?
This whole aspect of it is where we should be looking at the technology. But we should also have some sort of indication as to members of staff, without being too intrusive, as to how many unanswered emails they've got on their system. And I know for a fact there are members and probably officers that have got hundreds.
Of even unread ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Next one. Next subject, please.
So the next one is monitoring the organisational change programme. So at the next meeting, there'll be a discussion report so that this committee can, alongside Councillor Elliott and Councillor Dewick, look at some of the key areas that you wish to scrutinise as part of the project. So what I'll do is I'll summarise in detail the different work streams and the timetables. Then you can all look at that and work out what's happening when. So in terms of this committee and the work programme, you'll know which bits you might want to look at different points in the year.
Yeah, move on.
Review of the fire and rescue service provision in the Denji. Councillor Elliott's got a meeting on Friday afternoon, I believe, with Mr. Holmes. Dealing with wastewater, I think we had a communication problem.
Hang on, we've got Councillor.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. Just again in passing, it might be helpful to Councillor Elliott. One of my drivers is now retired, was a retained fireman for many years at Tillingham, and talked about this evening. He'd heard of it and he was absolutely horrified. He said that if whatever the response time may be to a fire being dealt with by the Tillingham and the Burnham fire engines, if they've got to come from Alden and Woodham, you can add the travelling time, which is going to be half an hour. He said the actual reaction time within the station, even for retained firemen, all of which bar one are at Malden, I'm not sure at Woodham, is basically the same whichever station you go to, but they've got half an hour travelling from Malden and probably near 40 minutes from Woodham. So he said people will die because of it if that happens.
And Malden is retained for...
It was one full-time, I don't know
who this is. Councillor Elliott, do you say something? No. All right with that? Move on then to D. dealing with wastewater.
Wastewater. So we just need to reschedule that meeting, don't we? So yeah. That's Mrs. Hall and Mr. Butt all together. And I've also got quite a detailed document which Mrs. Hall did for me, which I can forward on to you as well.
And if I might come back to that, that's something that I've raised before, is that this meeting was organised, but one, I was in Yorkshire with no internet signal anyway, but I checked my diary before I went, and there's no meeting, and if you look now, there's still no meeting in my diary for this meeting that was supposed to go ahead. And I've raised it before, that if they're not put in our diaries, we don't know when they are, you know, and I was pretty shocked when it came up there was a meeting, so... Mm.
Did you get the same councillor? Did you have notification of the meeting on your diary or not?
For which?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah, and Councillor Hurd's, yours is there as well. So,
and I have got one for me for one on Friday the 31st for tourism. So I've got that one. It was just the one the 21st that wasn't in there.
Right, that's fine. Right, we'll move. Councillor Savage.
This was my other question. It says here there's a meeting on the 21st of August. Could I have an update, please?
That's what we've just said.
That apparently didn't take place.
We've just said that.
Yeah, I know.
Because she was away.
But the papers were printed. The papers were produced before that meeting took place.
Okay.
So, has there been a meeting, or is there going to be one shortly?
There will be one. Yeah, been rescheduled.
Provision of Tourist Information Centre. So again, meeting tomorrow, 31st, to do that one as well.
Friday even.
Office accommodation and leases with the Morden District Council offices. The final stuff's come back from District Valuer on that now. That arrived yesterday, so that will come to the next meeting. It says October, but actually we've got one at the very end of September, so we'll bring that to that meeting. Job Centre Plus, which is the next one, if no other questions.
Just before we go on to that one, this office accommodation and leases within the Morden District offices. Are there any plans to tell people where the police station is here? Because there's nothing to say Morden Police Station, and there's no blue light there or anything. I noticed the blue light has gone from the old police station. But if we are sharing accommodation with them, surely these signs should be in place.
Yes.
Well, a bit for the Crime and Disorder Committee, wasn't it?
Commissioner.
Chairman, I have raised this earlier, that you've got a... looks like a very secure building, and there's nothing to say it's elsewhere. And it's not doing the police morale any good as far as the public are concerned.
We can bring that up at a Crime and Disorder Committee meeting.
Yeah, and as for the blue light, it's probably been nicked, I suppose.
Okay. You've done the Job Centre Plus, have we?
Yeah. So, at Job Centre Plus, there was a meeting last week with Councillor Hurd. I think we've got 8 points to look into. Ms Green's looking at that, and that will come back to the next meeting.
Okay. Then we finally got the waste contract reliability of contractors.
Yes, which has also come to the next meeting. It says October, but I think it's like the 29th of September.
Okay. Any other items of scrutiny members wish to consider? Councillor Savage, you must have something.
Well, Chairman, I am waiting for a response on the trees, and based upon that, I would have been coming back. That was the agreement at the last meeting.
Thank you very much, Councillor Savage. Any other business? Any other business? The chairman of the committee decides are urgent. There are none, so I close the meeting at 8:24.